Okay. So again, there are 18 conjectures right now on the blackboard, and each is the parallel of, well, I mean, they're not equally valued, I have to be honest. Some are kind of silly. But in principle, they're all from the same make as what used to be the conjecture that every weight system integrates. So the same make that gave the Kontsievich integral, or that that requires elliptic associators to prove, or, well, any of the other relatively difficult techniques. But I want to be specific about what these conjectures say. Okay, so far it's a bit vague. I want to make it completely specific. Okay, so the language is the language of circuit algebras, which I will not repeat, but here's a lovely, here are two lovely circuits just to illustrate it. And so now here are the definitions. So there are 18 definitions on this slide. Okay, in all of them I define VK, but each time it's a different VK. Okay, and it's the circuit algebra over Q, so it's the circuit algebra where I allow formal linear combinations over Q. By generated by two generators, the overcrossing and the undercrossings, and then modeled out by various subsets of this collection of relations, and I just want to be specific. Here's Rademeister 1, here's Rademeister 3, the braid part, Rademeister 3, the cyclic part I don't need to write, because if I impose Rademeister 3, the Rademeister 2, the cyclic part, it will imply Rademeister 3, the braid part, the cyclic part. Anyway, and then there are two Rademeister 2s, the braid-like version and the cyclic version. Finally, I actually don't look at the whole circuit algebra. I wish I could, but my computer is not good enough, or rather my programming skills, given the time constraints, were not good enough. So instead, after building the cyclic algebra, circuit algebra, I restrict my attention to a skeleton which is either a circle or a long line, or, and the last thing is not really a choice of a skeleton, but I put it in the same place because in this 18, in this grid of conjectures, it fits as an extra column. So the last choice is to say that the skeleton is descending. Okay, that you always go down when you go along the knot, or alternatively or equivalently, as Karine mentioned yesterday, it's like saying that overcrossings are equal to an undercrossing. So really, this is an extra relation that could be put here. Okay. In all of these cases, I define, if you want, a new element of the circuit algebra, which is denoted by, or it's the component that looks like a crossing with a purple circle around it, and all that it is the difference between an overcrossing and a non-crossing. Okay? And then I look at the circuit algebra ideal generated by this element. And here I'm a bit imprecise because I really mean both the over and the under. So the two, I do it for both crossings, okay? And then I look at the circuit algebra ideal generated by this element. What's a circuit algebra ideal? It's exactly the same as an ideal in a ring, okay? It's something, well, it's you take the generators and you allow yourself to multiply them by arbitrary elements of the ring. So you take this as the generator, and you multiply it in the circuit algebra by arbitrary other element of the circuit algebra. In other words, so the ideal is really the set of virtual tangles that contain at least one, or can be written as a linear combination of things that contain at least one circled object, purple circled object. Okay? That's just what an ideal means. Then again, just like in a ring you can take a high power of an ideal, it will mean that you multiply n elements or n plus 1 elements from the ideal, but you also further multiply by arbitrary elements of the ring. Okay? So likewise, I can take the n plus first power of this ideal. It will mean all possible products in the circuit algebra in which at least n plus 1 of the inputs are from the ideal, and the rest could come from anywhere. So that's the ideal to the n plus 1. Then consider the whole circuit algebra modulo the n plus first power of the ideal. Consider the dual of that. What's the dual of that? The dual of that is precisely invariants of virtual knots that vanish when you have n plus 1, that vanish on this. So vanish when you have n plus 1 double points, or the analog of double points. Meaning it's exactly what we used to call Vasiliev invariants, or finite type invariants. Hence the letter V. This is V for Vasiliev, not for virtual. It's a different V. Okay? So this is one thing we measure. This is one side of the equality. Now I have to tell you about the other side of the equality, of the conjectured 18 equalities. Okay? The other side is... why isn't it clicking? Because I never put it in. That's why. Anyway, the other side is the parallel of weight system. The thing which is parallel to weight systems. So first of all, okay, what are they? Okay, so let me get there. Take my time to get there, to the other side. So first of all, the thing I really care about is type n invariant modulo type n minus 1 invariants, right? Because I'm studying finite type invariants inductively. So I'm actually repeating what I did on the first day, okay? Now, Vn modulo Vn plus 1 has a pairing with In modulo In plus 1. I to the power n modulo I to the power n plus 1. Why? Because, well, Vn clearly pairs with I to the n, because Vn is in the dual of, it's a set of invariants, so it will pair with objects. I just have to check that it is, that... well, you have to check that it vanishes on I to the n plus 1, but that was the definition of Vn. It's the things that vanish on, right? Now it still doesn't work, but now it doesn't have a good excuse. The definition of Vn was the things that vanish on I to the n plus 1. So at least on one side, the pairing, at least on this side, the pairing is well defined. But also Vn minus 1 are the things that vanish on I to the n. This is the definition of Vn minus 1. So this pairing is well defined, and it's easy to check that it's a complete duality. Okay? So, non-degenerate. So, in fact, instead of studying Vn modulo Vn minus 1, I will study In modulo I to the n plus 1. Okay? And the next thing is to come up with a conjecture for what In modulo In plus 1 should be. So first, let me describe something that surjects to I to the n modulo I n plus 1, and then the conjecture will really be about the identity of the kernel, right? And if you know the kernel, then of course this will be the total modulo the kernel. So the conjecture is really about the identity of the kernel. So what is it that surjects? So it's the circuit algebra generated by symbols that stand for the semi-virtual crossings. So it will be these two symbols. So you allow yourself to assemble these whichever way you want, so you'll get exactly what I will call arrow diagrams, right? Initially, arrow diagrams for tangles, and if you restrict your attention to a specific skeleton, it will be arrow diagrams for that skeleton. But then restrict your attention, this is a graded circuit algebra, so restrict your attention to the degree n piece of that circuit algebra, meaning to circuit diagrams, sorry, to arrow diagrams with exactly n chords. The chords I should arrows. The arrows are labeled plus and minus. And then this circuit algebra, or more precisely this piece of a circuit algebra, maps to I to the n mod I to the n plus 1 by mapping a plus arrow to a semi-virtual and a minus arrow to the opposite semi-virtual, which are really just differences of elements. Okay? Again, this is the usual thing. It's the exact parallel of double point is interpreted as over minus under. Though, just be careful, really the bijection between the ends here and the ends on the right is a bit strange, right? In a circuit algebra, the elements should have labeled ends because I need to know, you know, which output of which circuit to connect to which input of which next circuit. And I use the funny bijection here because graphically it's what's easier to work with. But really, you know, if you name the ends here 1, 2, 3 on the left, 4 on the right, then the corresponding naming here will be 1, 2, 3 on the right, 4 on the left. Okay? Just a little bit of care. Anyway, now I can define the relations. Sorry, now I can define the conjectured set of relations. And again, I will define all of them, but only a subset of them will be used depending on which part of the 18 set box and 18 box diagram, I mean. So Rademeister 1 is an individual arrow goes to 0. Rademeister 2b, which I always use, implies that a plus arrow is equal to a negative arrow, so from that point on you can forget about Rademeister 2. About negative arrows. Okay? I think I mentioned it at some point, and in fact I got in trouble for that, but it's still true. Okay? Rademeister 2c, it's funny because Rademeister 2c was forgotten by the original authors of the papers on this subject. So they failed to notice it, and I like to call it the Roman 12 relation, because you see it says, it's 12 in Roman, right? But anyway, it's really 10 is equal to 2 in Roman. Okay? Then there is Rademeister 3b implies a six-term relation that from this point hence will be called the six-term relation. And alternatively, it's often called the infinitesimal Young-Baxter or the classical Young-Baxter equation. I don't know. Okay? And finally, the skeleton relation flatness, so over is equal to under, just means that the two sides of that arrow going to opposite sides are opposite signs. Okay? Good. So then the other thing I measure, the other thing on the other side of the conjecture, is the dimension of Wn, the space of n-weight systems, which is n diagrams, so the circuit algebra at degree n, modulus these relations, well, dualized or not dualized, as you wish. I mean, I'm just measuring dimensions. Okay? Okay? Now, still not working. But now I really don't know why. Anyway, but now I can now the table makes more sense. So let me explain it, or let me go through it in a little bit more detail. So it's annoying. Let me try it in a different place. So that's a good sign. It also means I should turn off the speaker. Okay, so first of all, the skeleton can be either round or long or flat, meaning long and descending. So over is, or alternatively, long and over is equal to under. In each case, I either mod out by Rider-Meister 1 or do not mod out by Rider-Meister 1. And of course, on the W side, it will mean the corresponding relation with sort of a short arrow. And then I do two interesting things and one uninteresting things, which we did just because we could, for no real reason. Okay? So the interesting things is to either use sort of the standard definition of virtual knots, so mod out by all Rider-Meister moves, or accept Rider-Meister 1, which is special, or mod out only by the braid-like Rider-Meister moves. And then the last thing that we did, simply because it only meant deleting a line from the program, we just deleted the Rider-Meister 3 line altogether and modded out only by Rider-Meister 2s. I expect this to be totally uninteresting. Okay? Nevertheless, we computed all of those 18 things. Each thing had 5 degrees to compute, and in each computation we had 2 things to compute: the dimension of the space of invariants and the dimension of the space of weight systems, and there are perfect matches in all cases. So the table only shows 18 times 5 numbers, the other 18 times 5 are equal. Okay? And the conjecture is that they're all, and that these equalities persist. So some comments. So the numbers in orange is what Luke Kaufman would call virtual knots. So module Rider-Meister 1 and the standard Rider-Meister moves, and either on a round skeleton or on a long skeleton, and notice that these numbers are different. Okay? The purple thing is the thing that best match by algebras. So that will come later. But the relations in purple are actually the relations that are closest to what you would get from the theory of Lie by algebras. And then another natural question to ask is whether all of those weight systems that were computed here actually do come from Lie by algebras. So Louis Leong computed these dimensions for using several Lie by algebras. So he computed the space of weight systems that come from some large collection of Lie by algebras that he considered, and the numbers he got were 2727139. So 2727 match. Oh, sorry. 2727128. The 2727 match, the 128 is already below this number, but we don't know if this is because he did not study enough Lie by algebras or if because the numbers are genuinely different. Okay? So all we know is that the things that actually come from Lie by algebras are greater than or equal to these numbers because he studied a finite collection. Next, so if you look at at the dotted things, so this is equal to that, this is equal to that, this is equal to that. So on the associated graded level, so on the W level, we can prove it. On the invariance level, we don't know it. So these are sort of independent conjectures. The fact that V is equal to W here and here are independent conjectures, even though if they are equal, we will know that the numbers match. Okay? Next comment, this thing still doesn't work. So the next comment is the yellow stuff. So, when I wrote this handout, it says, yes, we noted, because you note that it's factorial. So we noted that too. And in fact, that led to the conjectures that Karine later proved and discussed yesterday. So in fact, this box is proven. by Karine. The next comment, I think it's uninteresting, but this thing starts like a known sequence and probably continues. And then more comments. So what about the W quotients? What if you modeled by overcrossing commute? Well, we just spent a whole week to talk about it, but it could fit into this box, into this picture, and as an extra dimension, and everything works. What about virtual braids? When I wrote this handout, I wrote, I don't know, but by now I do know, thanks to Peter Lee, and dimensions match. And finally, when I looked at the flat column, I said long flat knots. What about round flat knots? So it actually fails. So by explicit computations, the numbers don't match. But I only discovered this after preparing this handout. So you know, in a sense, it says that the conjectures are not tautological. Okay? It's not that there is some tautological reason that we're missing that makes it always true. Okay? Anyway, should I spend some time explaining how the numbers are computed? It's not hard to compute these numbers. Maybe I will explain how they are computed, okay? So, it goes under the Polyak technique because Misha Polyak wrote some paper about it a long time ago, but never actually computed, only suggested the technique. But anyway, you see, virtual knots are generated by the circle, by the semi-virtual crossings just as well. I could use these as the generators instead of the ordinary crossings. Because you see, the definition of the semi-virtual was that a semi-virtual is equal to an honest minus a virtual. And you can move the virtual to the other side and you find that an honest is equal to a semi-virtual plus a virtual. But virtual crossings are not really crossings, they're identities in the circuit algebra. Identities, not in the sense of equalities, but in the sense of neutral elements. They are always there. They're a part of the definition. So, So, in other words, if you have these, you have those. Okay? This fails when you talk about ordinary knots. In ordinary knots, there are no neutral elements. Okay? In the planar algebra spaces, there is no something that acts as the identity, as neutral. So therefore, this technique fails in the U case, and in fact, these computations are much harder to do in the U case. Okay? But, okay, the moment you change variables, the relations also change. So instead of R, you get R circle. I think I should have had this circle in purple, but I didn't. Okay? So you get relations written in terms of the circled generators. Okay? And how do you get them? So, for example, you could take the... Well, all you need to do is to take the usual Rademeister 3. What does the usual Rademeister 3 say? Something like this is equal to that, I think. And every place you see an honest crossing, you replace it by a semi-virtual plus a virtual. So you get 8 terms on the left and 8 terms on the right. Of these 8 terms, the terms in which everything was virtual, so on the left you will be getting da-da, no. On the left, you will be getting this. On the right, you will be getting that. And they just cancel. So from the 8 on the left here and 8 on the right here, only 7 remain. Then you look at the terms in which you have one semi-virtual and 2 virtuals. And again, they perfectly match. So that cancels another 3 terms here and another 3 terms here. And you're left with a genuine relation that involves only 4 on each side. And these are the 4 that are written here. And these are the 4 in which you have at least 2 semi-virtuals on each side. So either all 3 semi-virtuals and all 3 semi-virtuals on the other side, or the 3 ways of putting just 2 semi-virtuals and 1 virtual. Okay? So that's the so-called 8-term relation. But now if I want to... Okay, the good thing about this is that modding out by the I to the n plus 1 is completely obvious. Okay? You can read off the degree of a diagram simply by counting how many circles there are in it. Okay? So if you want to look at vk modulo I to the n plus 1, and you do it by changing variables, it's enough to look at this, the degree less than n part of the circuit algebra divided by all the relations of that type. I mean, you do the same to the other relations. Okay? So all the relations, but all the circled relations, 8 term, etc., that live up to degree n, that you can write up to degree n. So they will have diagrams like this in them, which you will extend to bigger diagrams by multiplying by more stuff. But there is only finitely many ways you can do it before you run out of degree. Okay? So this is in principle computable, and we have computed it. We just wrote brute force programs that write all the generators. So write everything you can write here, write everything you can write here, compute the quotient space by brute force linear algebra, compute dimensions. Okay? Now, the other side, so this computes the V side. So the spaces of, it in fact computes not modulo the ideal, but this is the dimension of the space of invariants. Okay? The other possibility is to, the other thing to look at is to compute the space of weight systems, the dimension of the space of weight systems. So what are weight systems? I think I'll skip the diagram and just say it informally. So informally, the weight systems are what you get at the when you're at the saturation level. When you multiply it by further things so that you get to the maximal degree. Okay, so in this case, it will mean multiply by things that contain n minus 2 semi-virtuals. If you multiply by something that contains n minus 2 semi-virtuals in the circuit algebra and the same thing on both sides, then the terms with 3 semi-virtuals will go above saturation and drop out, and you will be left with a 6-term relation. Okay? And in fact, each of the relations I wrote at the level of topology, by this process, becomes a relation at the level of diagrams. And then there is a neat warning, which is the little mistake that Polyak and friends did. This process is not canonical. It depends on how you write the relations. So it may appear to you that the 2 equalities written here are the same. Okay? So you write the you know, this is equal via Rademeister 2b to that is equal via Rademeister 2c to that. Or I could have flipped the order of these two and put the kind of unbraided thing in the middle. That's not the same, because how will I interpret it? So I will interpret this as having, well, two relations, the R2B. So this relation, this is equal to that, which I will put on the side, rewrite using semi-virtual, and keep only the lowest order part. And then I will take this, rewrite in terms of semi-virtuals, and keep only the lowest order part. And it will turn out that you get something different than if you do the same process on the right. Should I do it, by the way? Because it's so unintuitive that it might be worth doing, even though it's... Okay? So, okay, I'll do it, even though it's... should I? I need permission from... No, Iran asked, that's permission enough. So, again, it's completely bizarre. Well, not bizarre, but... And it's part of the reason, it's why the conjecture is non-trivial, right? I was specific about what the conjecture is, right? But I was lucky to write the relations in the right order so that to get the right conjecture. If I had written the relations in the wrong order, it would be the wrong conjecture. Okay? Originally we wrote them in the wrong order. I mean, it took some time. Anyway, so let's interpret. Okay, so really I have three things here. I have this, I have that, and I have, how did I write it? This way. This is a virtual crossing. So each of these, I have a triple of equalities here. Let me rewrite each of these equalities in terms of semi-virtual. So in fact, let me rewrite each of these three in terms of semi-virtuals. Okay? So the top one written in terms of semi-virtual remains the same. The bottom one becomes I suppose things have to be oriented, so, and always the same way. So the bottom one becomes four possibilities. Not the bottom one, the bottom left one, becomes four things. Either both are virtual, or the top one is semi and the bottom one is virtual, or the top one is virtual and the bottom is semi, or both are semi. Okay, so this plus this plus this plus that is the left hand side. Okay? And the right hand side is exactly the same. So either both become virtual, or the top one is semi and the bottom is virtual, or, you know what, I don't need to keep the senses of the crossings because the circle tells you, the circle is enough information. So the next possibility is this, and the last possibility is that, semi. Now, let me write everything in terms of arrow diagrams. So let me just replace... let me not do that yet. Let me see what is relation number one mean? What does relation number one mean? What is relation number two mean? And what is relation number three mean? Okay? So, so in relation number one, the virtual, the first term cancels, right? I mean, if we always mod out by virtual Rider-Meister move, so this is equal to that. So it cancels, and I'm left with, okay, the last one is above saturation. So I'm trying to look at the lowest degree that survives in each one. So I'm only left with these two terms. So number one implies that an arrow plus an arrow is equal to zero. And you see, the signs are, this is a positive and this is a negative, so we've rederived the fact that a negative arrow is minus of a positive arrow. Okay? Relation number three means, okay, so again, the totally virtual cancels, the last one is irrelevant, and you're left with the exact same relation with one arrow equals one arrow and with opposite signs. So the relation this leads to is this plus this is equal to zero. Now, the interesting one is number two. So in number, so now I'm equating, you know, these four to these four. The top one cancel. Modulo the mixed Rider-Meister move, you can slide. Oops, I had it wrong. This is virtual. Modulo the mixed Rider-Meister move, right? I can slide a pair of virtuals to the other side. So this is equal to that. This is equal to that. So all top three cancel. And you're only left with but you are left with something. The least degree that stays is degree two. And you are actually left with a degree two relation. And when you look at it, on the left you get a two, and on the right you get a 10. Hence the Roman 12. Okay? So, no comment. Stuff is amusing. Okay, now what's the true count? I claim that I have 18 conjectures, but it's not how I expect it will be proven, if they will be proven. Some of them might be wrong, but if it will ever be proven, I really expect that there will be one proof for a central one, and then some small number of transfer compatible commuting transfer principles that will tell you how to go, you know, in the same, how to, if you know the theorem without Rider-Meister 1, how to get it with, and so on. So this is the parallel of the transfer principles that I've already used when I talked about ordinary finite type invariant. I mentioned the Concievich integral constructs an invariant of unframed knots. If you want an invariant of framed knots, you can always automatically get it from it. So the expectation is that there will be similar transfer principles here, except I don't have the bang and I have none of the transfer principles. Okay, so I'm only making guesses. And what did I want to say here? I don't know. I mean, ignore it. Sorry, I forgot what I wanted to say in all of these places, but this is a good time to stop anyway. So, what I will want to do next is to explain how this relates to low algebra and then to high algebra of Libye algebras. Okay? So, I suppose this will be after lunch, and it will be short. Because the low algebra is not very hard, and the high algebra is mostly what I dream, not what I have. Okay? All right, if I had it, then these would not be conjectures, but theorems. Okay.